flown, I have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
You are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 104.9, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge.
Get out those old records, those old phonograph records, the ones we used to play so long ago. What if they sound scratchy? The tunes really were catchy, and especially those that said I love you so. I used to beg you over and over just to set the wedding day. To get you courtable, I'd bring my portable and melt your heart away. With all those old records, those old phonograph records, the ones we used to play so long ago.
All the ones about records,
those old,
all the ones about you,
the ones we used to play so long ago,
on the old wind-up Victrola. Barney Google was great.
The tunes,
all the songs about Kate,
and especially those that said I love you so.
Yuckahoola, hickey,
I used to beg you over and over just to set the wedding day. To get you portable,
songs,
I'd bring my portable
songs,
and melt your heart away.
With all those old,
they were wonderful
records. Those old,
play them over again.
Records, the ones we used to play so long ago.
The ones we used to play so long ago.
This is Bruce Kaplan welcoming you to another episode of Radio Masterpieces, and do we have two special gems for you tonight on Valley 104.9, the most wonderful little station in the U.S. of A. We begin with a delicious episode of Richard Diamond starring Dick Powell, and we conclude with a wonderful episode of Suspense starring the great actor Herbert Marshall. If you have any questions for me, please don't hesitate to write to bruce@radiomasterpieces.com, and I'll be sure and answer you. Thank you so much for tuning in, and now let's enjoy our wonderful old-time radio masterpieces.
Diamond Detective Agency, anything for the home, reconditioned V2 bombs, complete with built-in seat for your mother-in-law's next trip. Also a large stock of 5-second hand grenades for the kiddies in the block.
Rick.
Oh, by the way, we have a special today.
Oh, you have?
Yes, with every 5-ton purchase of dynamite, you get free of charge a nifty nitro tank destroyer kit.
Oh, that's nice.
Great for parties. Plant one in your driveway and give your relatives that extra lift.
Oh, Richard Diamond.
Yes?
Oh, you're terrible.
Oh, now you only say that because you're an authority on the subject.
It's a wonder you ever get any clients.
Oh, honey, maybe I've been trying too hard. This week, clients have been as scarce as lobsters on the Sahara.
Oh, no business at all.
Helen, if a client walked in now, I'd probably fall off the chair.
Mr. Dunn. Oh, my goodness.
Rick.
Just being as good as my word, dear.
Can I give you a hand?
No. What else do you want to get rid of?
Rick, what happened?
Oh, someone just walked in.
And you fell?
Yeah, right on...
Rick?
I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
What can I do for you, dear?
My name is Joyce Wallace. I want to hire you.
How do you do, Miss Wallace? Why do you want to hire me?
Because someone tried to kill me.
How?
I was sitting in my living room. Someone took a shot at me through the window.
Your new play opened last week, didn't it?
Ah. You know who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember a number you did in tights. You got a pretty face, too.
But thank you.
Have you gone to the police?
No.
Well, baby, if someone's out gunning for you, the law's your best bet. I think you'd better go see them.
I can't.
All right, then tell me about it.
Well, as you know, I'm an actress. Mm-hmm. If this got out, it would be all over the papers by tomorrow.
You've had publicity before?
Certainly, and some of it's been very bad. But this time, I can't afford bad publicity.
Oh, well, go on.
You see, my husband and I have separated. I'm trying to retain custody of our child.
And the courts wouldn't like you getting shot at.
Barton, my husband, will try just about anything to get the child away from me.
You're married to Barton Webb.
The playwright.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe he was the one who took the shot at you.
I've thought about that, but it's a little hard to believe.
Why?
Well, we've had a fairly decent relationship up till 6 months ago.
Honey, I've known guys who got mad and slit their wives' throats all in a matter of an hour or so. It doesn't take 6 months to build up to a shooting.
Well, that's why I want to hire you. I want you to find out.
Can you think of anyone else who might like you better at the morgue?
Well, I have people who don't like me, certainly.
Certainly.
Why do you agree so quickly?
Sweetheart, look. It stands to reason that half the women who know you would dislike you just because, well, let's say your bathing suits have an advantage.
Ah, nice. And what about the other half?
Oh, probably lock their husbands in a vault after 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you take the job, we'll probably spend a lot of time together.
Dear, I've got claustrophobia. If I get nervous, I'll just run my head into a wall or something.
You're hired.
You're jumping the gun. I get $100 a day in expenses.
I have a check.
I'll take it.
There you are.
I certainly am. Well, let's go.
Where to?
Your apartment. I want to look for the bullet.
Good. We can have a drink.
Well, it's a little early, but I could use something cool.
Are you warm?
I think so. I've smoked 3 cigarettes while we've been talking and haven't lighted 1 match. We left the office then with Joyce Wallace in the lead. I followed her down the hall, into the elevator, down to the first floor, where I bought some seasick pills and decided it was better to walk alongside of her. We grabbed a cab, and 20 minutes later, I was standing on a foot-thick carpet surrounded by a very cozy apartment. Cozy. That means $25,000 worth of furniture that you'd never look at when George Wallace is in the room.
You like it?
Oh, but yes, yes. Tell me, when did Mata Hari go in for decorating?
Would you like to see where the bullet came through the window?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's right over here. See?
Yeah.
Mr. Diamond.
Oh, yeah. Well, the bullet. Right through the window. Hmm?
I was standing over there by the sofa when I heard the shot.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm looking for the bullet. It's got to be around here someplace, unless you've already found it.
Oh, why, no, I never even thought to look.
Well, it should be in this wall somewhere.
I'll fix us that drink while you're looking.
Take your time.
What do you like?
Oh, any old thing with I... Hey, wait a minute. You don't know any midgets, do you?
Whatever do you mean?
Mind if I stand on this chair?
Go ahead. Oh, I see it. The bullet up there by the ceiling.
Yeah, that's what I meant about knowing a midget. Your window's right on the street. If an average man pointed the gun, he was either down on his knees or he was a pretty lousy shot.
Can you pry it out?
Yeah. I got it. Uh-huh. There you are.
What are you going to do with it?
I'll run it down to the 5th precinct and have ballistics check on it.
That means you're going to see the police.
Well, honey, what else can I do? I don't think the Boy Scouts are equipped for that sort of thing.
I told you I don't want the police brought in on this.
Oh, they won't be. I've got a few friends who'll do the job, and that's that.
Well, how about that drink?
Oh, I'll take a rain check for later.
Well, it's 4:30 now. I'll be at the theater at 6.
If I don't get back here to you, I'll see you at the theater.
Well, it's the Strand. I'll leave word with the doorman.
Tell me, dear, you don't do another number in tights, do you?
Well, no. Why?
Oh, it's just as well. Last time, my blood pressure went up so high, some guy sitting right behind me got an idea for a new pressure cooker and made a fortune. I'll see you later, dear. She walked me to the door and said something about all work and no play, and then she stood on her toes and kissed me on the forehead. The kiss was effective, all right. When I finally found my way down the hall, I knew just how the first cow in Texas felt right after being branded. I got out into the fresh air, gulped a couple of lungs full, grabbed a cab, and a few minutes later, I was walking into the squad room of the 5th Precinct Police Station. Well, good afternoon, Sergeant.
Oh, what do you want, Shamus?
What do you want, Shamus?
Oh, Otis, oh, why don't you be happy? Conform. The worst has happened. They'll never send you back to the jungle.
Ooh.
The lieutenant in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks, Sporty. Otis.
Yeah, what is...
When are you going to get a haircut?
What's the matter with my hair?
Looks like a mountain lion's been sleeping in it. Hello, Walt.
Why don't you leave him alone, Rick?
He's used to it. It'd drive him out of his mind if I walked in someday and didn't say a word.
It would?
Probably.
Why don't you try it?
Oh, you're as bad as I am.
That's a horrible thing to say to me. And by the way, what are you doing down here, Rick? What's going on?
I want a ballistics check on this bullet.
Oh, you do, huh? Where'd you get it?
What?
That bullet.
Well, what do you want to know for?
Because I think you're trying to hide something.
Now, why would I do that, Walt?
Because that's the way you operate. Now, where did you get that bullet?
What bullet?
Now, you stop that. That bullet you got in your hand, that one right there.
This one?
Yes, that one.
What about it?
Where'd it come from?
You want to know?
Of course I want to know.
Well, who can tell you better about a bullet than ballistics?
Yeah. Otis.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Get in here.
What are you going to do?
Find out about that bullet.
You wanted me, Lieutenant?
No. I just wondered if you'd guessed who it was on my private line. Take this bullet down to ballistics and bring me the report.
Right.
Thanks, Walt. I'll check with you later.
Now, you wait a minute. There was something I was going to ask you.
Yes?
Well, I'll think of it later.
Something about the bullet, Walt?
Yeah, that was...
I let Walt chase me as far as the street, and then I grabbed another cab and headed for my own apartment. It was about 5 o'clock, so I cooked up a short meal, climbed into a shower, and my other suit. At 6 o'clock, I was at the Strand Theater, talking with the doorman.
Say, your name's Diamond?
Yeah, that's right, Pop.
Well, Miss Wallace said to show you right back, but I don't know whether this is a very good time or not.
Well, she said 6 o'clock. It's 6 now, Pop.
Yeah, but she's got a visitor.
Oh.
Well, come on, I'll show you anyway. Her dressing room is right down this way.
I'm not going to give her up.
Well, my dear, you make a gossip anyway.
Oh,
you see what I mean, husband?
Yep. You just get out of here.
Still want to go in?
You know I
think so.
You're just trying to upset me.
I want to settle this thing once and for all.
Good luck. Thanks, Bob.
Well, I don't care. I'm just going to go ahead with my plans.
You better answer the door, darling, if your counsels are rich.
Hello, John.
Oh, come in, Mr. Diamond.
Oh, he's a new one, isn't he?
This is Mr. Diamond, and I have some business I want to talk over with him. Alone.
Well, anyway, you look at him, it certainly would be foolish for me to argue the point. I suppose you chin yourself regularly, Mr. Diamond?
Chins are a hobby with me, Mr. Webb. I've come in contact with several in the past.
A wit. Muscles and wit. This is a new achievement for you, dear.
Please get out of here, Bart. Now.
Good evening, Mr. Diamond. I will say that you're more of a presentable specimen than the others.
You're somewhat of a specimen yourself, Mr. Webb.
Hmm. Another time, Mr. Diamond. Good evening.
Oh, he just won't leave me alone.
Did you tell him about someone trying to take a shot at you?
Well, of course not. He'd go right to the papers. Just what he's looking for. Oh, no.
I'll get it.
I see you made it all right.
Hello, Pop.
Who is it?
Package for you, Miss Wallace.
Oh, thanks, Pop. Will you take it, Mr. Diamond?
Sure thing. Thanks. Oh, wow. Flowers.
Flowers? Oh, this is his idea of a joke. Upset me so I can hardly go on. Then a few seconds later, his flowers arrive.
Biting flowers?
Yes. Sends me yellow roses every Monday.
Look out.
Get back. Oh, it's falling out.
All right. All right, it's okay now. He's dead. Honey, calm down.
Hey, what's going on here?
Call a doctor, Pop.
What's the shooting all about?
When you get out of here and call a doctor, go on.
Okay. Hey, ain't that a snake?
No, it's an eccentric spaghetti. Now get that doctor. Joyce, you've got to take it easy. The snake's dead. Now calm down, baby.
A snake.
You keep on like this, you'll end up sleeping in a cage. Joyce, will you shut up and listen to me? Okay, honey, sorry. Like I said... Sorry, but it's better if you sleep it off. I don't usually like to belt women, but this was one of those times when a case of nerves had to be turned off in a hurry. Like a leaky faucet, pretty soon the tub runs over and something gets rusted. I caught her as she went down, picked her up, carried her over to the couch, and then I left her that way until the doctor arrived.
Oh, no wonder she went off like that. I'd probably end up walking on my hands if somebody sent me a snake.
I think maybe I hit her a little hard.
Best thing you could have done under the circumstances.
She's coming out of it.
I'll give her a mild sedative, calm her down. She'll be all right now after the initial shock has worn off.
Joyce, how do you feel?
Oh, you bully.
Had to do it.
Think you'll be all right now, Miss Wallace?
Who are you?
A doctor. He's going to give you something to make you rest.
He's not going to hit me, too, is he?
Oh, no, just a mild sedative. Calm you down. Make you feel better.
Well, thank you, but I don't need anything. I'll be all right. Besides, I've got a show to do.
Whatever you say.
You're sure it wouldn't be...
Where's the snake?
Oh, dear, Pop. Pop just took it out.
Oh. Let me sit up. I'm all right.
Right in here, Captain.
Lieutenant.
Everybody duck.
Aha! Aha. I might have known it.
You might have, but you still got your sergeant around to keep you out of stupor.
Oh, he's picking on me again, Lieutenant.
Look, what in the world is going on here?
The law has landed, Joyce. This is good Lieutenant Levinson. Walt, Miss Joyce Wallace.
Oh, they must be here about the snake.
Yeah, I called him, Miss Wallace.
Who's this guy?
Oh, this guy's a doctor, Walt.
I'm just leaving, Lieutenant. Miss Wallace seems to be all right now.
All right, Doctor. Otis, take him out in the hall. Get his name and address in case we want to talk to him.
All right, Lieutenant. Well, goodbye, Miss Wallace. You just try and relax.
Yes, thank you, Doctor.
All right, Rick. Now, what the devil's going on here? We get a call from the doorman. There's a snake loose in Miss Wallace's dressing room. That someone's been doing some shooting.
Oh, well, snake was loose. I shot it.
That's right, Lieutenant. It's as simple as that.
Oh, it's as simple as that. How'd the snake get in here?
Oh, maybe he was one of her fans.
Now, you stop that.
You find out about that bullet?
Yes, I found out about that bullet. Fired from a Mauser 25. And that's another thing I want
to... Lieutenant, there's really nothing to worry about. A snake got into my dressing room, Mr. Diamond shot it, and that's all.
Miss Wallace, how does a snake get backstage and into a dressing room?
Well, now, let's see. If I was a snake...
All right. I looked the snake. It wasn't poisonous, so I guess it doesn't make much difference.
Wasn't poisonous?
No, Red Heart, just a widow old gopher snake.
Mm.
Now, what about that bullet you had me analyze?
It's part of a case I'm working on. I'll tell you about it later.
Nothing to do with Miss Wallace, I suppose? No connection with the snake at all?
None whatsoever, Lieutenant.
Is this the box the snake came in?
Yeah.
I'll check with the florist.
Yeah, I'll do that, will you? And let me know what you find out.
All right, but Diamond, so help me. If somebody gets killed, I'm going to hold you for complicity.
I bet you can't say it again.
Say what?
Complicity.
Complicity.
You never know.
Thank you for not telling him anything, Mr. Diamond.
Well, there wasn't much to tell. Maybe you'd better help me out, though. Any idea why someone would send you a non-poisonous snake?
Certainly, I have a deathly fear of them. Any kind of snake.
How many people know about this?
My husband.
Anyone else?
No one. I've never told anyone. You see, I was bitten by a snake when I was a little girl in Wyoming. I never got over it.
Oh, well, someone must have known about it then.
My family and a doctor. They're all dead now.
All right. I'm going to leave for a while. Think you'll be all right for the show?
Oh, certainly. I have a little time before curtain.
Oh, by the way, what's your husband's address?
559 East Park, why?
Well, I'm going over to see him. Find out what kind of presents he's in the habit of sending.
Yes? Oh.
You should be in mourning, Mr. Webb. I just killed a friend of yours.
What?
Maybe you better let me in.
Well, if you're running around exterminating my friends, maybe I'd just better call the police.
Yeah, why don't you do that? Now I'm coming in.
I hardly see...
Oh, yes.
Well, you're in. Can I get you a drink, Mr. Diamond?
I haven't got much time. I want a few answers.
Well, at least take your hat off. I don't like being intimidated, but if I must be subjected to your roughhouse tactics, I prefer you to be polite.
If I get the right answers, I'll be so polite, I'll even apologize and I'll break your leg.
I really think I'd better call the police.
Did you send your wife a snake?
Has Joyce taken up the bottle?
Which leg do you want me to start on?
Don't be ridiculous. Of course, I didn't send my wife a snake.
Did you send her flowers?
Yellow roses. I have a standing order with the florist every Monday night.
Well, this Monday, there was a snake in them.
You're serious?
How do I look?
Well, that is a very provocative question.
Look, Buster, let her not...
Good grief. If someone did send Joyce a snake, she must be in a complete state of hysterics. She hates them.
Do you own a Mauser 25, Mr. Webb?
Why, yes. How did you know that?
I didn't. Can I see it?
No, as a matter of fact, it disappeared a couple of days ago.
That's a little thin.
Mr. Diamond, I assure you that if I could show you the gun, I would be most happy to. Loaded and pointing right at your overdeveloped chest.
You say it disappeared a couple of days ago, Sure about that?
Of course. I kept it in my bureau drawer. When I got up in the morning, it was there. And that evening, I went to get a handkerchief and the gun was gone.
Nothing else moved? No indication of robbery?
No.
Who has the key to the apartment besides yourself? Your wife?
Mr. Diamond, a moment ago you told me someone had set my wife a snake. I mentioned that she must be in a complete state of hysterics. Then you start this ridiculous questioning about my missing gun. Now, if my wife was hysterical, by now she's probably looking for the top of her head. Now, get out of my way.
Hey, where do you think you're going?
My wife and I may have our differences, Mr. Diamond, but unfortunately for me, I still love her.
Oh?
And if you ever tell her I said so, muscles or no, I shall assert myself and beat your head off.
Oh, relax. She's all right. She's probably doing her show right now.
Nevertheless, I'll thank you to remove your oversized hulk and let me go to her.
Someone also took a shot at her.
What? Well, now I am going to the police.
She thinks you did it in order to gain custody of the child.
Well, she certainly deserves to think so. I'm not exactly an easy person to live with. Now, please.
If this gets to the papers, Mr.
You have my word.
Now, one more question. Did you ever tell anyone about your wife's fear of snakes?
Positively not.
Oh. Mind if I make a phone call?
If you like.
You admit sending your wife the yellow roses?
I admit sending my wife some yellow roses. I deny having anything to do with the snake.
Homicide, Lieutenant Levinson.
What'd you find out about flowers, Walt?
Husband sent them, a Mr. Barton Webb.
I'm with him right now.
Good for you. But there's no possible way he could have gotten a snake in that box. Flowers were sent over by a messenger. The snake had to be put in between the stage door and her dressing room.
Well, Pop, the doorman, brought him in. Maybe he did it.
I'm going down to question him.
Okay, Walt, okay. I'll keep in touch.
Please do that. I couldn't stand it if everything suddenly started to work normally.
Well, did you find out how I put the snake in the box, Mr. Diamond?
No, but I'm still interested.
I'll get it. Yes? Well, hello. Yes. Yes, dear. All right, I'll be right over.
Leaving?
Unless you'd care to wrestle. Stay as long as you like, though. Pour yourself a drink. The poison is in the red decanter.
You know, the poison was in the red decanter. I stood there a minute, getting that lousy feeling again. The logical person to have fired the shot and sent the snake was Barton Webb. But my instinct said no. I remembered Walt had said he was going over to question Pop the doorman at the theater, so I took off fast in the hope of beating him there. The theater was only 4 blocks away, so I ran it.
Well, hello there, Mr. Diamond.
Hey, Pop, the law's on the way over here to pick you up.
Yeah, for what?
Well, they think maybe you put that snake in the box of flowers.
Well, I didn't, and they're going to have a hard time proving anything else.
Tell me, what did the guy look like who delivered the box?
Young kid.
Wearing a uniform?
No, just looked like one of the kids in the block. Matter of fact, I thought it was kind of funny, a kid like that delivering for a fancy florist. The fellow who delivered the other box was all get up in a nice blue outfit.
What of the box?
Came right after you left. Looked like it was from the same florist.
Thanks, Pop. Is Miss Wallace on stage now?
No. She ain't in her dressing room either.
Her understudy take her place?
Yep. Miss Wallace didn't think she could go on. How did you know that?
I'll see you later, Pop.
I want to know where...
Oh, no.
Hello, Walt.
Oh, no.
Hi, Walt.
Oh, no.
Well, I tore it right down the middle. I left the theater, headed across town in a hurry. Started adding things up. Webb owned a Mauser 25, but it was missing. A Mauser 25 had been used to take a shot at Joyce. Webb always sent yellow roses on Monday night. Yellow roses had come, and there'd been a snake in them. Something that Joyce had feared, and only one other living person besides herself supposedly knew about her fear. 2 boxes of flowers had arrived at the theater. Webb openly admitted sending 1 bunch. Suddenly, everything was tying together. Even a motive. Thanks, Gary. Keep the change.
All right, thanks.
Here he comes.
Get away from me, Barton.
Oh, good grief.
All right, toss the gun over here. Over here.
Oh, Mr. Diamond, he was going to kill me.
Oh, dear.
Mr. Diamond.
Yes, Mr. Diamond. You ruined the door.
He was going to kill me.
Was he?
Of course I was.
Barton.
Or wasn't he, baby?
Yes, of course.
Of course. Good evening, Mr. Diamond.
Looks to me like Joyce had the gun.
Well, I was trying to protect myself. He threatened to kill me.
It runs in the family. Instead of an anniversary, we have a funeral. The Webbs have always killed their wives. An old custom fought by my great-grandfather.
Barton, shut up!
This gun is a Mauser 25.
What did you expect? A crossbow?
Who does it belong to?
Me.
You told me your gun was swiped a couple of days ago, Barton.
Once I explained to a drama critic that my only claim to fame was talent.
Don't listen to him, Mr. Diamond. That's my gun.
It's mine, and I can prove it.
And you were the one who shot at Joyce from outside the window?
Naturally.
Which window did you shoot through?
What?
No, which? Which window, quick?
Why, how do I know which window? I did it in such a hurry.
Where was Joyce standing? You must remember that.
I refuse to answer you. These questions are completely ridiculous.
And if you did take a shot at her, you also sent her the...
Oh, stop it. Stop it, both of you.
Well, he did, didn't he?
Of course I did.
Martin, why in the world do you stand there and admit these things?
Well, why not, my dear? I should think you might at least be grateful.
Grateful? Oh, I know you better than that, Martin Webb. You've got some crummy scheme up your sleeve.
Crummy?
Oh, well.
Despicable. Despicable, that's what I meant. You have some pestigo, get me.
Well, it's going to be on, and at least read your line slowly. Slowly, do you hear? Slowly!
Despicable!
Both of you, shut up. You admit sending the snake, Barton?
Yes, I do.
He does not.
I most certainly do.
You're a liar.
What?
Yes, he's a liar, Mr. Diamond. I'll tell you all about it.
Joyce!
No, I'll tell you. You came to me because you said someone was trying to kill you. Shot at you through a window, maybe Barton.
Of course, I told you!
Oh, shut up! Then a snake arrives in a box of flowers. Looks like Barton sent that, too.
I did?
You did like the devil. Two boxes of flowers came to the theater tonight. One of them was yours, Barton. The other one you sent yourself, Joyce. You put a snake in it and had some kid deliver it.
I did?
Yes, and another thing. Barton left me in his apartment a good 20 minutes ago. If he was going to kill you, he'd certainly have done it by now.
The Webbs are naturally lazy.
You took his gun a few days ago, Joyce. You called him and told him to meet you here, hoping I'd follow. Then you were going to make it look like he'd attempted to kill you.
Oh!
Joyce, darling. I swear, Diamond, that at the first opportunity, I'm going to start working out at a reputable gym, and eventually I shall engage you in physical combat.
No, he's right. Mr. Diamond, you're right.
Yes, and the motive. You were afraid he was going to take away the one thing you loved, your child.
Martin, why didn't you just come right out and tell him? Why did you admit to something that wasn't as tall as so?
My motive will not be discussed.
Oh, the little brain was feeling a twinge of conscience. Pretty noble, too. He was willing to take the rap for all the trouble he'd given you in the past.
What?
Well, it was really nothing.
He's still in love with you, Joyce.
What?
Yeah, and I think you two better sit down and talk it over. Believe me, you deserve each other.
Oh.
There, darling. There.
No, you could get in a lot of trouble for this, but I'll straighten it out with the law.
Oh, Mr. Diamond, how can I ever thank you?
My George, you know, you're not such a bad fellow after all.
Look, let's get something straight right now. I've been made a patsy and my feelings are hurt. I may not get over it until I get a big, fat bonus in the mail. No later than tomorrow.
Muscular, witty, and to top it off, a businessman. Mr. Diamond, I think you have a future.
What's that you're playing, Rick?
Oh, it's a new song, dear.
What's it from?
Show that opened last week.
Oh, the one your client is in?
Mm-hmm. She does it in one of those real tight evening gowns. You know the type.
Mm-hmm. And so do you.
Well, it's a pretty song.
Let me hear it.
Okay.
Well, 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 look who's here. I haven't seen you in many a year. If I knew you were coming, I'd bake the cake. Bake the cake, bake the cake. If I knew you were coming, I'd bake the cake. How'd you do, how'd you do, how'd you do? Had you dropped me a letter, I'd have hired a band. Grandest band in the land. Had you dropped me a letter, I'd have hired a band and spread the welcome mat for you. Now I don't know where you came from, cause I don't know where you've been, but it really doesn't matter. Grab a chair and fill your platter and dig, dig, dig right in. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked the cake, hired a band. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked the cake. How'd you do, how'd you do, how'd you do? Now I don't know where you came from, cause I don't know where you've been, but it really doesn't matter. Grab a chair and fill your platter and dig, 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 run in. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked the cake, hired a band. Goodness sake, if I knew you were coming, I'd have baked the cake. How'd you do, how'd you do, how'd you do? Oh, how'd you do, how'd you do, how'd you do?
Well, honey, how'd you like that?
Well, I don't know why she has to sing that in an evening gown.
Well, she doesn't have a very good voice, dear.
Rick, I can't sing at all.
Sweetheart, you could come on in a tent doing 12 courses of Down in the Canebrake, and the critics would lock Joyce Wallace in the zoo.
You really think so?
Let's go buy a tent.
Oh, Rick, don't be silly. I couldn't wear a tent.
Well, you could try. If it doesn't work, I know a camping spot in the Catskills.
Oh, Rick.
Thrifty diamond.
Yes, I know. Never waste a good tent.
From Josephine in my flying machine, going up she goes, up she goes. Balance yourself like a bird on the beam in the air. She goes, there she goes, up, up a little bit higher. Oh my, the moon is on fire. Come Josephine in my flying machine, going up, all on goodbye. Oh, say, let us fly, dear.
Where to?
Why, up to the sky, dear.
Oh, you're a flying machine.
Don't be afraid. Come on, jump in, please, Miss Josephine. Ship ahoy, ahoy. Oh, what a feeling.
Where, dear?
Why, in the ceiling, ho, high. Hoopla, we fly to the sky so high.
One and two, an hour off of dear, see you, it's pretty soft up here, but boy, dear, now don't you hit the moon. You for me and me for you, but golly gee, you're such a flying kid, and that is not for me, not yet, but soon.
Up, up a little bit higher, oh my, the moon is on fire.
Oh my Josephine, come on and fly away with me, my machine will go so high up in the sky, we two, goodbye. Josephine thinks that flying is keen, and so up we go, just say the word and she'll make like a bird, look out, up we go,
up, up a little bit higher, oh my, the moon is on fire,
come Josephine in my flying machine, going up, way up.
Oh, what a ride.
Goodbye.
Remember to take the journey on Sunday nights at 10 p.m. to midnight with Musical Star Streams, hosted by Forrest. Each week brings a new two-hour episode of Exotic Electronica. It follows Radio Masterpieces, which airs at 9 p.m. on Valley 104.9, your community station. And thanks for listening to Valley 104.9.
Suspense. Tonight, I bring you the suspenseful play called My Own Murderer, starring Mr. Herbert Marshall.
I was never really much attracted by Alan Rennick, even before he murdered Baines. It had been a raw March day, and I returned home at about 11:30 in the evening to find Alan Rennick waiting on my doorstep.
Hello, Dick.
Alan, what on earth are you doing here?
It's a long story, old boy. Aren't you going to ask me? You know, is it your habit to keep people waiting on your threshold?
Well, give me a chance. After you.
I say, this is cozy.
Yeah, just about right for a bachelor who never entertains. I dare say it wouldn't do for you at all.
I wouldn't be too sure of that. Just one bedroom?
There's a spare, but I've never used it.
Not very hospitable, are you, old trout?
I've never had any occasion to be.
Well, you have now.
What's on your mind, Alan?
I'm coming to that. Remember Baines, my butler and valet?
Vaguely.
Well, Baines turned out a bad penny. Tried to blackmail me, as a matter of fact.
Blackmail?
Yes, he got hold of some letters written to me by a lady.
A married lady.
You guessed it. Since you're my legal advisor, you may as well know the whole story. They were from Anita Kilner.
So you bolted? warned her and put the police on him.
The police? No, I couldn't afford to do that. Warden couldn't very well produce Anita's letter.
You paid Baines the blackmail he wanted, huh?
Certainly not.
Then what?
I'm afraid I lost my temper.
Oh, good Lord, you don't mean to say there was violence?
Of course there was. You don't think I could let a reptile like that go on living?
Let me get this straight. You try to tell me that you...
I beat his brains out with a poker.
You murdered him?
I suppose that's what the police will call it. It happened this afternoon, around 3 o'clock, I think.
If I'd only known sooner. It's probably too late now to fix up an alibi for you.
You'll think up something, won't you, Dick? You always do when I'm in a jam. And in the meantime, I can hide out here, can't I?
What possible good will that do? They'll track you down here sooner or later, and then we'll both be in the soup. No, Alan. Better get yourself up. Then I'll see what can be done about getting you off. If we could muss you up a bit and plead self-defense.
Is that the best your devious legal mind can dream up?
At the moment, yes, I'm a little tired.
Well, I'm not going to cooperate. I'm going to stay right here till you figure out a way to get me clear of this.
Alan, be reasonable. For your own good, give yourself up.
Is it my own good you're thinking of? Or is it because you're afraid you'll be caught harboring a criminal and lose your filthy law practice?
That's a little bit.
What are you doing?
Telephoning the police.
Put that phone down.
It's best this way. Believe me, Alan.
I've already committed one murder this evening. I've nothing to lose by committing another.
Sorry, wrong number.
You're really afraid of me, aren't you?
Now, perhaps. Tomorrow I could turn you in with no risk whatsoever. But I don't think I will.
There's a good fellow.
I'll let you stay here, Alan. I'll save your neck for you, too.
Why this sudden change of heart?
You've always thought me rather a worm, haven't you, Alan?
Oh, I say, Dickle.
You were the dashing man about town. Your escapades and your lordly extravagance and your women running after you. I was just a dull fellow trapped in a musty law office. Now your very life depends on me. I suppose that's why the situation appeals to me. It's an adventure, if you like.
Well, I don't.
I dare say not. It won't be pleasant for you, cooped up in this little flat, with no one but me to talk to.
Well, after all, it's only temporary.
You may not like some aspects of it, even for a little while. You'll have to do your own laundry, of course.
I say.
Checking laundry is a favorite police trick. And no lights will be turned on in the flat when I'm not at home.
You mean I've got to sit here in the dark?
You can go into the kitchen or the bathroom. There are no outside windows in those rooms. Oh, and talking of the kitchen, I think you ought to have your meals there, even when I'm in. You'll serve me in the dining room.
Look here, do you think I'm your servant or what?
As a matter of fact, it's only fair you should be, since I can't hire any help, so long as you're here.
Wouldn't it be simpler and more matey if we both dined in the kitchen?
I'm not used to dining in the kitchen.
Neither am I.
Then the sooner you practice, the better. The future's not going to be so simple for you as the past has been, Alan. But after all, you're very lucky to have a future at all. Eh?
Well, Dick, whatever it is, one thing is certain. I'll have you to thank for it. But I warn you, Dick, if I do have it, it won't be only for Bane's murder, but for yours as well.
Should Alan Rennick prove to be my own murderer, as well as Baines's, this document will serve as his death warrant. If not, well, I shall make good use of it anyhow. This, then, is what I decided to do. I was to keep Alan Rennick and hide him where he was in my flat. I had a plan for effecting his escape. But it was more than a month before I had an opportunity to start it in motion. It came quite unexpectedly in the course of my almost daily visits to the Old Bailey. An insurance case preceded mine on the court docket, and I was forced to wait while a revolting red-headed doctor rambled on with his testimony. That red hair of his really fascinated me, but not as much as his medical bag which lay on the bench before me. But when he stepped down from the box, I was already on my way out of the courtroom.
Hey, stop that man. He's stolen my bag.
What's this? What's the trouble, Doctor?
That man, the one with the tortoiseshell glasses, he's made off with my kit.
What was it you say he took?
Uh, A black leather bag, you know the type, with my name on it.
I'm afraid he's lost in the crowd by this time, sir. But if your name's on it, could you identify him if you saw him again?
Why, of course I could. He had on tortoiseshell glasses, and he had a bad mastoid scar just under his right ear.
All the time he was talking to the policeman, I was standing not more than 5 paces away, lost among the curious crowd that had collected about them. I left the room with the crowd and hailed a cab. When I had taken what I needed from his bag, I threw it with its remaining contents into the ever-useful Regent's Canal. Its owner's name, stamped on the outer side of it, was as revolting as his red hair. Jeremiah Bloggins. Jeremiah Bloggins. Now my plans for Alan's escape swung into motion. Our chief accomplice was a woman friend of Alan's named Margaret Farley, whom I knew to be the most intelligent of his acquaintances.
Hello, Dick. Where's Alan?
All right, Alan. You can come out now.
Well, it's high time. Hello, Margaret.
Alan. Oh, Alan, my poor, poor darling.
Long time, you'll see. But you're still the prettiest girl in London.
Look, I'm sorry to interrupt this touching little scene, but there's not too much time. Shall we discuss our plan?
Yes, of course.
Well, in essence, this is it. Alan's going to die.
Huh? What do you mean by that?
I say, isn't that rather extreme?
Not literally, of course. The point is to arrange a bogus death of some sort. To get you declared legally dead, and then you'll assume another identity.
That has possibilities. But what about the body?
Well, I'm afraid I'm forced back on the old expedient of the suicide note. The clothes left on the riverbank, and the body that's never recovered. Later, you're declared legally dead. It's a very old plan.
And rather unlikely to deceive the police for that reason, don't you think, old boy?
Or we'll admit later on, if necessary, that it was a put-up job.
What's the good of that?
Don't you see? If the police ask too many questions, Miss Farley here will admit being a party to a bogus suicide. But stick to her story that you were really drowned by misadventure while trying to carry out your plan.
I think it has possibilities, Alan.
Where is this Hellespont that I'm supposed to swim?
Well, I've been studying maps of the English coastline. We should choose the mouth of a river, where the tidal currents are strong enough to sweep the body out to sea. Not too broad a channel, so that it can be easily swum when the tide's at low ebb. And not too near a town or village, so there'll be no unwanted witnesses.
So I grow a beard, swim the river, put on different clothes, and become Jeremiah Bloggins or somebody for the rest of my life.
Huh? How did you happen to mention that name?
Jeremiah Bloggins? Why not? Good a name as any. Don't you think so, Margaret?
I don't think this is quite the time for facetiousness, Alan.
Well, all right. So I become Jeremiah Bloggins. That's better than hanging. But what will Jeremiah Bloggins do for money?
Well, you could make out a will in favor of Margaret here, or whomever you have.
Oh, I suppose I can depend on you to make things stick legally.
Well, I'm putting myself in a position where you could easily blackmail me if I didn't.
He has a point there, Alan.
Now, we'll need another, confederate. Somebody to look after you when you get to the other shore. You could leave a car there, of course, but the effect of the cold water... Well, I think it's safer to have somebody waiting for you on the other side.
Well, who'll it be?
That actress friend of Alan's. Anita Kilner.
That woman? Well, how can you suggest such a thing?
Oh, come now, Margaret. It's true that Anita's a fool and rather a tiresome one. I don't know whether Dick told you, but her letters got me into this mess. Baines was trying to blackmail me for them, and that's why I killed her. But Dick's right. I need someone, and I can trust Anita because of those letters, if for no other reason.
Heavens, what a scheme. Everybody's in a position to blackmail everybody else.
Yes, that had already occurred to me. That's exactly why this plan can't possibly fail. The river mouth we finally hit upon was near Mudiford. It was Margaret Farley's choice, and it was a good one. Still, I was afraid to trust everything to her. So I decided to drive Alan down there and to leave him as soon as I saw him safely in the water. Margaret Fowley was to meet us there, and Nita would be waiting on the other bank. It was at times a revolting journey down to Mudiford that night.
The trouble with you, Dick, is that you like managing people. Mark my words, one day I shall be a free man again, and then I shall try and repay you for some of the things you've made me put up with. Cleaning up after you, making me say, yes, Dick. Certainly, Dick. Of course, Dick.
I think it's quite useless to point out to you that what I did was not only for your own good, but absolutely necessary. Incidentally, I shouldn't be smoking quite so much if I were you. got to do some swimming tonight, remember? You're hopelessly out of condition.
How I should like to give you just one on the jaw.
Just one? 7 is your usual number, isn't it? Isn't that what it took to kill Baines?
You unutterable swine. If you weren't driving the car, I'd give you something to remember me by.
I shan't forget you easily as it is.
Oh. Well, forget what I said. I'm all on edge. It's a devil of a cold night, too. Did you bring that black coffee I asked you to? Where's the thermos?
There on the back seat. Help yourself.
Thanks. Yeah. Filthy coffee. I should have made it myself.
Better save a little for just before you go into the water.
Well, Margaret's bound to have brought some, too. I'll just finish this off. Oh. Bad as it tastes, it's making me feel a lot better.
I thought you'd never come. Oh, Alan, you poor boy. We would pick the coldest night in the year.
Nonsense. I feel marvelous, marvelous.
Well, I brought you some hot coffee. It's here in this thermos.
Better save it for just before I dive in. Well, come along. Let's get going.
Oh, I wish he wouldn't rush things so. He'll wear himself out before he gets in the water.
If I know Alan, he's whistling past the cemetery. Hope he doesn't lose his nerve at the last moment. If he does...
You mustn't imply things like that about Alan. Besides, I don't know that I could bring myself actually to push him.
You must. You know what he is, and tonight he's especially difficult.
All right. I'll do whatever seems necessary.
I don't know what's come over me. I feel positively numb. Really, it's much too cold. Hadn't we better try another night?
Now, Alan...
I can't, Margaret. I'm afraid it's too cold.
Here's a thermos. Here, drink this, darling. It'll warm you up.
Ah. Oh, filthy stuff.
Go on, drink it up.
There. I feel terrible. I've never been so cold in my life.
No, go on, Alan. Be brave. You were always that.
Now look, Dolly. No, really. No, don't. No, don't. Please, don't. Don't. Ah!
Yes?
Mr. Denson?
Yes?
It's Anita.
Oh, yes?
I'm calling from the inn near Mutford. I waited all night, but Alan never showed up.
You sure you waited at the right spot?
Of course I did. You think he didn't get across?
Don't see why not. It was even narrower than I expected. I could have swum it myself. Now look, you better go on home and act as if you hadn't been away. And don't telephone me again. I'll let you know the moment I hear from him. Day followed day with no word from Alan. I had no alternative but to assume that he had drowned there in the estuary that night. The body had not been found, but then we had deliberately chosen a place where the tide could be alleged to have carried it out to sea. The uncertainty was a little distressing. I had not forgotten his threat to come back on even scores with me once he'd got free. And tonight came an unpleasant little scene which did not help my frame of mind. It began with Anita.
I know you're angry at me for coming here, Mr. Sampson, but I've simply got to talk to someone.
You ought not to come down here. It isn't safe.
Safe? You're a nice one to talk about safety. Do you think Alan's safe now?
I don't know.
I don't believe you care. He trusted you, and you've let him down. Oh, why did he ever trust himself to a brute like you? You and your plans and your cleverness. But where are they all now? And you sit back contented with what you've done.
Let me interrupt your panegyric for a moment, Anita. I'd better answer that.
You listen to me first.
Oh, well, we shall see about that.
Well, seems to be a gathering of the clan.
Oh, it's you, Mrs. Farley. Well, I want to talk to you, too.
So you missed him?
He didn't come. I did my part. Did you do yours?
Well, I did my best. But I don't know. I ought never to have let him go, considering how cold and miserable he was. I ought to have stopped him.
Then why didn't you? Because you had a preconceived idea put into your head by this conniving brute of an attorney. He planned it all. And now he isn't going to turn a hand to find Alan and help him if he needs it, because it might jeopardize his filthy little law practice. Well, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to the police and tell them the whole story.
Has it occurred to you that the police can't possibly help anyone in this case and may possibly harm all three of us? And if Alan is alive, you will inevitably do him harm.
Yes, Yes, he's right. I pushed him in. I pushed him in.
Don't be morbid. You did what you could with excellent intentions. Are you going to clear your conscience by getting two other people into trouble? Are you, Anita?
I confess I'm not too keen on helping Margaret to be a martyr for Alan.
How dare you? It was you and your hysterical letters that got Alan into this mess.
And wouldn't it be ironic if they ended up by being published anyway? That would be a fine tribute to Alan's sacrifice. Especially if he's dead and gone.
What are you driving at?
I have those letters. Well, I'm not going to demand a price for them like Baines. But at the same time...
You dirty blackmailer.
I'm merely forcing you to do something for your own good. Just like giving a patient morphia to prevent him doing an injury to himself.
Morphia?
Well, figure of speech, but I think you understand what I mean.
Morphia.
After the women had gone, I thought over the conversation, particularly that part of it in which Margaret Farley repeated the word morphia. I think she knows. But even if Alan's body is recovered and they find what he really died of, they can never make an accusation. They have to prove possession of the morphia. And no one in the world can do that. I meant to call Anita Kilner and sound her out, but I find that I don't even know her married name. Not that it matters, considering what went on and with Alan behind her husband's back. In any case, I can depend on her letters to keep her mouth shut. On reading this over, I find that in my marshalling of the facts in this case, I have omitted one possibility. Far-fetched, it's true, but there is one person whom I should set about finding if I were acting for the Crown in this case. I refer to that abominable, truculent, red-headed doctor with a ridiculous name. I'm leaving the office for the day, Chatsworth. Will you put these files in my briefcase?
Oh, yes, sir.
And will you please get out Rennick's file? His will goes into probate tomorrow, and I want to study it at home tonight.
Very well, sir. Oh, by the way, that gentleman is still waiting in the outer office.
What gentleman?
Oh, I must have forgotten to tell you. He came in with a lady just a moment ago. Dr. Bloggins.
Bloggins?
Jeremiah Bloggins. Peculiar name, isn't it? Oh, beg pardon if it's a friend of yours, sir.
No. No, not especially. You see, I was in?
Why, yes, I'm afraid I did.
Chatsworth, if you ever become a solicitor, be sure your office has two entrances.
Shall I send him away, sir?
Jeremiah Bloggins. I dare say he'd be unpleasantly persistent. Better let him come in.
Yes, sir. Will you be needing me, Mr. Sampson?
Yes, you'd better sit down. I want you to take down a statement.
Yes, sir.
Won't you come in, please?
Thank you. Hello, Mrs. Sampson. I want you to meet...
Dr. Bloggins. Yes, we've met before.
Oh,
Strange. You should have been the one to bring this about, Anita. I always thought Margaret Farley the cleverer one. Or should I speak so frankly?
Dr. Bloggins knows everything, Mrs. Sampson.
Yes, I know, but just for the record... Are you ready to take down that statement, Chatsworth?
Yes, Mr. Sampson.
Very well. I murdered Alan Rennick.
Well, just a moment, Mr.
Please
Sampson.
Please don't interrupt. Yes, I murdered him. And why not? He was a killer. He forced himself on me and turned himself into my private property. He might indeed be called my own murderer. My motive? Well, perhaps one day the world will learn that the strongest compulsion to murder is hatred. I hated Alan Rennick, and I planned his murder brilliantly. I counted on the sea, holding Rennick long enough for the traces of morphia to have gone. I really can't be responsible for the treachery of the elements. Only one man had the evidence to convict me, and the odds against his being found and brought face to face with me were so slight that I'd risk it again. I'm not sorry I killed him. Even now I'm able to say that it has been a great adventure. Requiring courage and daring beyond Rennick's wildest imagination. I have proved which of us was the better man. You have all that, Chester?
Yes, sir.
Oh, add this note at the bottom. In view of the customary bumbling and obtrusiveness of the Crown Prosecutor, it will probably be necessary to state that his case will be greatly facilitated by calling as his first witness Dr. Jeremiah Bloggins.
Oh, look here, perhaps I'm obtuse, but why on earth are you trying to involve me in your beastly murder?
Huh? I say, do you mean to say you don't recognize me?
Why, no, why should I?
Anita, why did you bring this man here?
I thought you knew. He's my husband. After Alan's body was found, I decided to tell him everything. We simply came here to get the letters.
And you don't even remember me? When your bag was stolen while you were testifying at the Old Bailey.
Well, so you're the blighter who did that. Good heavens! That's where you got the morphia. Out of my bag!
Yes. I suppose I could get you with accessory after the fact. But that would only confuse the Crown Prosecutor. Well, on the whole, I'm rather glad it worked out this way. After all, as Nanky Poo says in the Mikado, there's much to be said for the advantage of having it done by the public executioner.
How are things in Glacamora? Oh, that little brook still leaping there? Does it still run down to Donegal through Killybegs, Kilkerry and Kildare? How are things in Glacamora? Willow tree still weeping there? Does that lassie with the twinkling eye come smiling by? And does she walk away sad and dreamy there, not to see me there? So I ask each weeping willow and each brook along the way and each lass who comes a-sighing, ooh-la-lay. How are things in Glacamora?
This world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
You are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 104.9, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge. The door is slowly closing for Radio Masterpieces, but be sure and tune in again next week from 9 to 10 p.m. to listen to more wonderful mysteries from the 1940s and 50s. This is Bruce Kaplan signing off. Radio Masterpieces is a Seattle Miracle Incorporated production.